I had to run to work right fast, and I was thinking of the song coming about Can't Hide From You. Wherever I go, you find me. And here she sings that this morning. I tell you, God is awesome. He is awesome. Talk about confirmation. It's just so good. He's so good, and he's amazing. He is amazing. And because the title of this is The Sovereignty of Elohim. What does the phrase Elohim is sovereign really means? If you were to look up the word sovereign in the dictionary, you will find words and phrases like superior, greatest, supreme in power and authority, ruler, and independent of all others. And that was just a little part of that song about him being there was no kingdom and no power and no authority above that great I am, that I am. Sovereign. A monarch, a king, queen, or other supreme ruler. And I just underlined these because that was, you know, if you go back to the other slide where it says the phrases, I just underlined some of them that was in the dictionary definition. A person who has supreme power or authority. A group or body of persons or a state having sovereign authority. Belonging to or characteristic of a sovereign or sovereign authority, royal, having supreme rank, power, or authority, supreme, preeminent, indisputable, a sovereign right, greatest in degree, utmost, or extreme, being above all others in character, importance, excellence, etc. That's who our Elohim is. He is all these. Elohim is sovereign over the universe. Elohim is sovereign over salvation. Elohim is sovereign over our suffering. One of the little verses in the first song about depression, sickness. He's Elohim and sovereign over all that. All that. Elohim is sovereign over the whole world. Every nation, every people, every language, every tribe, every chief, every president, every king, every prime minister, and politician, great or small, all of them. He didn't leave nobody out. When he described the whole world, he made sure that he named every last one of them. And in Isaiah 40, 15 through 17, let's look at a couple of them, what it says in the scripture. Behold, the nations are as a drop of a bucket and are counted as the small dust of the balance. Behold, he taketh up the isles as a very little thing. All nations before him are as nothing, and they are counted to him less than nothing and vanity. Isaiah 40, 22 through 23. It is he that sitteth upon the circle of the earth, and the inhabitants thereof are as grasshoppers, that stretcheth out the heavens as a curtain, and spreadeth them out as a tent to dwell in, that bringeth the princes to nothing. He makes the judges of the earth as vanity. Another translator say he makes the rulers of the earth. Psalms 103:19. Yahweh hath prepared his throne in the heavens, and his kingdom ruleth over all. Proverbs 21:1. The king's heart is in the hand of Yahweh, as the rivers of water. He turned it was whithersoever he will. You know, in the Torah last night after Brother Herman spoke, this scripture came to mind because he was talking about, him and Brother Chad commented on, you know, the charter gods. You know, you got these outsiders that come in and, you know, they got a little more money than what you got, and it looks like they're doing excellent and well. But let's not forget, that the king's heart is in Yahweh. He determines whether it goes. Not saying that he doesn't want us to have it, but they have it. But that don't mean that we can't get it. Because even though it looked like in our eyes they were doing wonderful, they might not be. We have, how Brother Herman called it last night, we have that hope that they might not have. But, you know, they're pretty sure they might have a God that's, you know, that Christian or a follower of Christ, however you want to describe it. This little quote I found by Chip Ingram, and I thought it was pretty cool. It says, "The way I like to explain Elohim's sovereignty is simply to say Elohim is in control." Simple. Just he's in control. There is absolutely nothing that happens in the universe that is outside of Elohim's influence and authority. Nothing. Absolutely nothing. And we're going to see that in some scriptures here below. All things are either caused by him or allowed by him for his own purpose and through his perfect will and timing. You know, I was reading another little thing that came across, and it says, you know, he doesn't produce evil because of who he is. He says, but he does take his hand of protection around you to let it happen to you. Nothing happens that is out of his knowledge and control. And let's turn to Job 1, 6 through 12. And we're going to see that what Job went through, it was God's influence and his authority that allowed it. Job 1, 6 through 12. "Now there was a day when the sons of Elohim came to present themselves before Yahweh, and Satan came also among them. And Yahweh said unto Satan, Whence comest thou? Then Satan answered Yahweh and said, From going to and fro in the earth, and from walking up and down in it. And Yahweh said unto Satan, Hast thou considered my servant Job, that there is none like him in the earth, a perfect and upright man, one that feareth Elohim and sheweth evil?" Said he was going to and fro. He was looking for someone to attack. Looking. He was on the prowl, because that's what he does. That's what he does. He looks to devour. It says, "Then Satan answered Yahweh and said, Doeth Job fear Elohim for naught? Hast not thou made an hedge about him and about his house and about all that he had on every side?" He knew he couldn't touch Job unless the authority and the influence of Elohim allowed him to. Because notice what he said. He said about his house and about all that he had on every side. That means God was in front of him, he was behind him, and he was on both sides of him. "But put forth thine hand now and touch all that he hath, and he will curse thee to thy face. And Yahweh said unto Satan, Behold, all that he had is in thy power. Only upon himself put not forth thine hand." Meaning, don't touch him. I want you to take whatever he's got. Right now, don't touch him. Right now, I don't want you to touch him. But you can take whatever he has. So Satan went from the presence of Yahweh. So Satan went from the presence of Yahweh. And we, you know, you go along and you go to the next chapter and you read that he wiped everything out. His cattle, his servants, twice his animals and his servants. Then he took his kids. But then he had to go ask for permission to do that. He couldn't just do that. And God gave him Elohim gave him the permission. He said, yeah, okay, go ahead. I'm going to remove my hand from his body, gave him sores, and then his wife said, curse God and die. He said, you speak like a foolish woman. You speak like a foolish woman. In 1 Corinthians 8, 6, "But to us there is but one Elohim, the Father, of whom are all things, and we in him, and one Master, Yeshua, Messiah, by whom are all things, and we by him. Romans 11, 34 through 36. Because remember, we're still dealing with all things are caused by him or allowed by him for one purpose. For who had known the mind of Yahweh, or who had been his counselor, or who had first given to him, and it shall be recompensed unto him again. For of him, and through him, and to him are all things, to whom be glory forever. Amen. And that's the Elohim we serve. That all things belong, not some things in this earth and in this universe. He says all things. Elohim is above and before all things. He is immortal and present everywhere so that everyone can know him. He is present so that, and that presence everywhere is that omnipresence. And I'm so glad, I'm so thankful for that omnipresence. You know, I didn't put these scriptures in there, but I was just thinking about them, about Daniel in the lion's den. How important that I bet you he was so thankful that omnipresence was with him. Jonah, even though Jonah got swallowed up by a whale, you can't live 3 days in a fish without the presence of God being in there with you. I'm so thankful because in my Jonah days, in my running, you know, Jonah was, when he got out, he stunk. The gas, the juices, he looked it horrible. He was probably ugly. You know, and I was just thinking about my days that I stunk, the days that I was in that running opposite. But, you know, I didn't look as good as I look now back then in my Jonah days. But my wife couldn't even say amen to that. You got to be kidding me, man. No, I'm just playing. But listen, us, followers of Christ, men, women, you do look good. A man that serves God, a man that honors him, a woman that honors him is beautiful. They gorgeous. Young people that's in school, well, we only got a couple. Listen, y'all beautiful. Y'all handsome. Y'all look good when y'all serve God. Because the enemy could attack your mind and get you self-esteem to where thinking that you ain't nothing. But when you serve God and you wrapped with his glory and his presence, you don't have no choice but to look good. Genesis 3, 8 through 10. And they heard the voice of Yahweh, Elohim, walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of Yahweh, Elohim, amongst the trees of the garden. And Yahweh Elohim called unto Adam and said unto him, where art thou? You can't hide from the presence, from the omnipresence. It's not just a presence, it's an omnipresence because he's everywhere. He knows every detail of your life, every detail. And he said, I heard thy voice in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked, and I hid myself. Psalms 139, 7 through 18. Whither shall I go from thy spirit, or whither shall I flee from thy presence? If I ascend up into heaven, thou art there. If I make my bed in the grave, behold, thou art there. If I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the utmost parts of the sea, even there shall thy hand lead me, and thy right hand shall hold me. I wonder if Jonah was thinking about Psalms 137, 9. In the utmost parts of the sea, you was there. It had to have been a verse that he was thinking about. It had to have been for him to get through what he went through. If I say, surely the darkness shall cover me, even the night shall be light about me. Yea, the darkness hide it not from thee, but the night shine it as the day. The darkness and the light are both alike to thee. For thou hast possessed my reins. Thou hast covered me in my mother's womb. I will praise thee, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are thy works, and that my soul know it right well. My substance was not hid from thee when I was made in secret and curiously wrought in the lowest parts of the earth. Thine eyes did see my substance, yet being unperfect, and in thy book all my members were written, which in continence were fashioned, when as yet there was none of them. How precious also are thy thoughts unto me, O El! How great is the sum of them! If I could count them, they are more in number than the sand. When I awake, I am still with thee. Isaiah 41:4. Who had wrought and done it, calling the generations from the beginning? I, Yahweh, the first and the last, I am He. In Revelations 1:8, I'm the Alpha and Omega. I'm the dominant one. I'm the end. The beginning and the ending, said Yahweh, which is and which was and which is to come, the Almighty. Revelations 21:6, and He said unto me, it is done. I am the Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. I will give unto him that is athirst of the fountain of the water of life freely. The sovereignty, the sovereign of Elohim. 1 Timothy 1:17. Now unto the King eternal, immortal, invisible, the only wise Elohim, be honor and glory forever and ever. Amen. No other king. I never met a king, but there's kings, you know, Pastor them said there's kings in Nepal. But now unto the King eternal. Ain't none of them kings that's on the face of this earth right now is eternal or immortal. But there was one, invisible, the only wise Elohim. 1 Timothy 6:15 through 16. Which in his times he will show who is the blessed and only Pontinent, the King of Kings and the Masters of Masters, who only had immortality, dwelling in the light which no man can approach, unto whom no man has seen, nor can see, to whom be honor and power everlasting, which no man can approach unto, and whom no man can see. And we see that with Moses. Remember Moses, show me your glory. He said, I can't even let you see my face. You got to see the backside of me. And in one account, after he showed himself to Moses, he said his face was so bright that he had to put a veil over it. They had to put a veil over it, but no man can see his face and live. Elohim is never helpless, never frustrated, never at a loss. We, as mortal beings, we get that. We get frustrated. You ever been tired and weary? When you get tired, you get a little cranky. I know I do. I just did the other night went out and eat after the football game. I was whipped. I mean, we're sitting in the parking lot and it's 10 o'clock and they're still deciding where you're going to eat at. And I'm like, oh man, I got work the next morning. And, you know, you're waiting for this one to come. You're waiting for that one to come. So you get a little frustrated. And then you don't want to say you want to go home because then, boy, you better suck it up. But we get frustrated. We helpless at times. And we get lost. Elohim is never at a loss. Even when he formed Adam and Eve and the enemy lied to them, and they disobeyed, he wasn't at a loss. He knew it. He knew it before the foundation of the world. He knew that his plan, that he had to have a plan B, sort of, if you want to say. You know, the first Adam failed, but he knew that he had that second Adam that he was going to raise, and he was going to be born, that she was, he was going to be born of a virgin, and he wasn't going to fail him. He was going to succeed, and he was going to do exactly what he told him to do. So Elohim is never helpless, never frustrated, and never at a loss. Isaiah 40:28, hast thou not known, hast thou not heard, that the everlasting Elohim Yahweh, the creator of the ends of the earth, fainteth not, neither is weary? There is no searching for his understanding. Sovereignty of Elohim, his absolute right to do all things according to his pleasure. You know, and we, you know, we get caught up in that because we want him to do when we want him to do, or now. But it's all according to his pleasure. It's when he wants to do for us. And we just have to be okay with that. We just have to sit back, be patient, be faithful that he's going to do what he said he's going to do. It might not be on our time, but it's definitely going to be on time. Isaiah 46:3-10. It says, hearken unto me, O house of Jacob, and all the remnant of the house of Israel, which are born by me from the belly, which are carried from the womb, and even to your old age, I am he, and even to hoar hairs will I carry you. I have made you, and I will bear. Even I will carry and will deliver you. To whom will he liken me and make me equal and compare me that we may be alike? They lavish gold out of the bag and weight silver in the balance and hire a goldsmith, and he maketh it a L. Noticing capitalized. He made it lowercase. They fall down, yea, they worship. They bear him upon the shoulder. They carry him and set him in his place. And he standeth. From his place shall he not remove. Yea, one shall cry unto him, yet can he not answer, nor save him out of his trouble? He's talking about the elves that they created. Ain't none of them could do that. None of them can answer. None of them can save. You get in trouble with your L, guess what? You in trouble. You're going to be in some serious trouble. You're going to stay in trouble. He ain't delivering. They can't deliver. Remember the former things of old, for I am L. Notice our capital E right there. And there is none else. I am Elohim, and there is none like me. Declaring the end from the beginning, and from the ancient times, the things that are not yet done, saying, my counsel shall stand, and I will do all my pleasure. Daniel 4:24-26. The king had a dream right here. He dreamed this big stout tree was grew to be strong and high up to the heavens. But he didn't know. He needed an interpretation. So this is Daniel, what Daniel says. This is the interpretation, O king, and this is the decree of the Most High, which is to come upon my master, the king, that they shall drive thee from men, and thy dwelling shall be with the beasts of the field, and they shall make thee to eat grass as oxen, and they shall wet thee with the dew of heaven, and seven times shall pass over thee, till thou know it that the Most High ruleth in the kingdom of men, and giveth it to whomsoever he will. And listen to 26. And whereas they commanded to leave the stump of the tree roots, thy kingdom shall be sure unto thee, after that thou shalt have known that the heavens do rule. And then you read on in that chapter, it tells you 12 months later, that dream was fulfilled. It says an angel came down and did all what Daniel told him. All what Daniel said, that dream, it was fulfilled. Romans 9, 14 through 23. What shall we say then? Is there unrighteousness with Elohim? Certainly not. For he said to Moses, I will have mercy on whom I will have mercy, and I will have compassion on whom I will have compassion. So then, it is not of him that willeth, nor of him that runneth, but of Elohim that showeth mercy. For the scripture said unto Pharaoh, even for this same purpose have I raised thee up, that I might show my power in thee, and that my name might be declared throughout all the earth. Therefore had he mercy on whom he will have mercy, and whom he will he hardeneth. Thou wilt say unto me, why doeth he yet find fault? For who hath resisted his will? Nay, but, O man, who art thou that repliest against Elohim? Shall the thing formed say to him that formed it, why hast thou made thee thus? Had not the potter power over the clay of the same lump to make one vessel unto honor and another unto dishonor? What if Elohim, willing to show his wrath and to make his power known, endureth with much long suffering the vessels of wrath fitted to destruction, and that he might make known the riches of his glory on the vessels of mercy which he had afore prepared unto glory. Revelations 4:11. Thou art worthy, O Yahweh, to receive glory and honor and power, for thou hast created all things for thy pleasure. They are and were created. Created all things for his pleasure. All authority in the universe belongs to Elohim. Job 34:18-19 and verse 24. Is it fit to say to a king, thou art wicked, and to the princes, ye are right unrighteous? How much less to him that accepted not the persons of princes, nor regarded the rich more than the poor, for they all are the work of his hands. He shall break in pieces mighty men without number and set others in their stead. Jeremiah 32:17-19. All my sovereign Yahweh, behold, thou hast made the heaven and the earth by thy great power and stretched out arm, and there is nothing too hard for thee. Thou showest loving kindness unto thousands, and recompense the iniquity of the fathers into the bosom of their children after them. The great, the mighty El, Yahweh of hosts, is his name. Great in counsel and mighty in work, for thine eyes are open upon all the ways of the Son of Man, to give everyone according to his ways and according to the fruit of his doings. Romans 13:1. Let every soul be subject unto the higher powers, for there is no power but of Elohim. The powers that be are ordained of Elohim. Ephesians 1:3. Paul, an apostle of Yeshua Messiah, by the will of Elohim, To the saints which are at Ephesus, and to the faithful in Messiah Yeshua, grace be to you and peace from Yahweh, our Father, and from the Master Yeshua, Messiah. Blessed be the El and the Father of our Master, Yeshua Messiah, who has blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Messiah. Daniel 2, 20 and 21. Daniel answered and said, "Blessed be the name of El forever and ever, for wisdom and might are his. And he changeth the times and the seasons. He removeth kings and setteth up kings. He giveth wisdom unto the wise and knowledge to them that know understanding." He changes the time and the seasons. That's what being sovereign means. It means being the ultimate source of all power, authority, and everything that exists. 1 Chronicles 29:11. "Thine, O Yahweh, is the greatness and the power and the glory and the victory and the majesty, for all that is in heaven and in the earth is thine. Thine is the kingdom, O Yahweh, and thou art exalted as head above all." You're talking about speaking right about Elohim? This is like something that, I mean, you know, you call them refrigerated verses, or this is something that you, when you wake up first thing in the morning, "Thine, O Yahweh, is the greatness and the power and the glory and the victory and the majesty in heaven and earth. Thine is the kingdom, O Yahweh, and thou art exalted as head above all." Psalms 19:1-2, and this is from the NIV. "The heavens declare the glory of God. The skies proclaim the work of his hands. Day after day, they pour forth speech. Night after night, they reveal knowledge." The heavens declare the glory and the work of his hands. Day and night, pour forth speech. It's incredible when you get to... I don't really go out night to look at the stars and all that. I mean, I guess I should, because, you know, it says that it speaks of his knowledge. It speaks of how wonderful. It speaks of his authority. It speaks of his the supreme authority, but how superior he is. Only Elohim can make those claims. Therefore, it is Elohim's sovereignty that makes him superior to all other gods and makes him and him alone worthy of all praise and worship. Psalms 135:1-6. "Praise ye Yah. Praise ye the name of Yahweh. Praise him, O ye servants of Yahweh, ye that stand in the house of Yahweh, in the courts of the house of our Elohim. Praise Yah, for Yahweh is good. Sing praises unto his name, for it is pleasant." And he said to do that in his house. And I was just, we're so blessed and so thankful that we get to do this every Sunday, every Thursday, every Saturday. We was talking about this at work. One of Brother Duke's Chance's nephew works with us, and a cousin of mine works with us. And, you know, I tell him that we have Torah on Saturdays, and my cousin's a Catholic, so he's like, he don't really understand. He's like, "Man, why y'all go to church so much?" And then, well, we got on the conversation about how back in the day revival would last week, 2 weeks.
And he's like, well, what y'all talk about that for that long? The preacher got that much to say? He said, well, y'all don't play no games? And we just bust out laughing. I said, boy, I said, if that don't sound like a Catholic question, y'all don't play no games? What, you want a carnival? I told him. But it was just, so they don't understand. They don't understand how you can go to church 3-4 times a week. What is there to talk about? The Bible is full of things to talk about. It's incredible. But it was just so funny. And it was, he's something. Y'all don't play no games? I'm like, what, you want a carnival? It was, you had to have been there because you would have bust out laughing too. Verse 4, for Yah had chosen Jacob unto himself and Israel for his peculiar treasure. For I know that Yahweh is great and that our sovereign is above all mighty ones. Whatsoever Yahweh pleased, that did he in heaven and in earth, in the seas and all deep places. Isaiah 25, 1 through 9. O Yahweh, thou art my Elohim. I will exalt thee. I will praise thy name, for thou hast done wonderful things. Thy counsels of old are faithfulness and truth. For thou hast made of a city and heap, of a defense city a ruin, a palace of strangers to be no city, it shall never be built. Therefore shall the strong people glorify thee, and the city of the terrible nations shall fear thee. For thou hast been a strength to the poor, a strength to the needy in his distress, a refuge from the storm, a shadow from the heat. When the blast of the terrible ones is as a storm against the wall, thou shalt bring down the noise of strangers as the heat in a dry place, even the heat with the shadow of a cloud. The branch of the terrible one shall be brought low, and in this mountain shall Yahweh of hosts make unto all people a feast of fat things, a feast of wines on the lees, of fat things full of marrow, of wines on the lees, well refined. I want to read verse 4 again, because, you know, I just made a comment a few slides up about their L can't deliver them, can't save them. When they get in the bind, they're going to be in the bind. It says, for thou hast been a strength to the poor, a strength to the needy in distress. Anybody ever been in distress? A refuge from a storm. Anybody been in some rough waters? A shadow from the heat, when the blast of the terrible ones is as a storm against the wall. Verse 7, and he will destroy in this mountain the face of the covering cast over all people, and the veil that is spread over all nations. He will swallow up death in victory, and my sovereign Yahweh will wipe away tears from off all faces. And the rebuke of his people shall he take away from off all the earth, for Yahweh has spoken it. And it shall be said in that day, lo, this is our Elohim. We have waited for him, and he will save us. This is Yahweh. We have waited for him. We will be glad and rejoice in his salvation. He will swallow up death in victory. And that's the last thing that's going to be put down. And what he says at the end of this verse, for Yahweh hath spoken it. 2 Samuel 7:22. Wherefore thou art great, O Yahweh Elohim, for there is none like thee, neither is there any Elohim beside thee, according to all that we have heard with our ears. According to everything we heard this morning, everything that we heard in the past, there is none like thee, and neither is there any Elohim beside thee. In these last two, Elohim is sovereign,
and he loves you. Nothing will ever come into your life that he does not either decree or allow it. No matter what you face in life, you can take comfort in the fact that Elohim is in control. No matter what we go through, and no matter what we face, we got to know for sure that if we faithful to him, he's going to be faithful to us. He's there with us. He is omnipresence. Wherever we at, whatever we going through, we just got to hold on. Endure, those that endure to the end shall be saved. Well, that's all I have. But, you know, just the sovereignty. Know who he is. Know he is the superior. He's the greatest. He is supreme in power and authority. There's no other ruler. There's no other power and authority than him. He is the great I am. And independent of all others. Independent of all others. He's so good to us. He's so